Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Speed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, white-on-white crime. It has been said that white-on-white crime is at an epidemic proportion. It is alleged that the media does not focus on white-on-white crime as much as black-on-black crime. should white people be apprehensive about the crime in the white community at large? Are they safer among other whites, or should they only be concerned about those thugs in the ethnic communities? From the Atlantic Black Star, Mr. Curtis Bunn. He has some very interesting findings. He said, according to the FBI, recent homicide statistics in 2011, it said a staggering 83% of white murder victims were killed by fellow Caucasians. Of murders committed by blacks, only 14% were white. And because whites are the majority in the country, that's why you have a large number. You should have a large number. There are 6 times as many whites as there are blacks. That means they commit most of the murders. This could be viewed as startling to many, especially all whites, because hardly ever is white-on-white crime covered in the media or dissected, you know, in the media, like black-on-black crime. You know, there's always something, you know, about that. You see it all over, which is very interesting. Time Magazine's reporter from Time Magazine wrote a column on crime focusing on the black community, calling it a social disaster. There was no mention of the overwhelmingly number of whites killed by whites, which they say that's typical of the media outlets, that they don't really cover the epidemic of white homicide in the media. So another reporter wrote the term black on black crime is a destructive, racialized, you know, saying that perpetuates the idea that blacks are somehow more prone to violence. I said it's not true based on the FBI and the DOJ, Department of Justice, census data, as I just, you know, gave you some numbers that, you know, white people are responsible for over 60%, over 70% of the homicides on, you know, perpetrated on other white folks. So even African Americans have come to believe that, you know, they're the boogeymen, they say. So they said the truth is from data from 2010, whites killed 3,252 times, which was 4.6 times more than the number of whites killed by blacks. So, violent crimes. But some data, according to the FBI, again, according to aggravated assaults, whites led blacks 2-1 in aggravated assaults, in arrest, in forcible rapes, and larceny, and all in other ethnic groups also. Black, all whites are leading the pack. So you don't see, like, you know anybody shooting white guys suspected of strange white guys in the communities because you think he's might be perpetrating a crime. That's what the author is saying here, and like the Trayvon Martin incident, nobody's being apprehensive about these white guys in turn following them or anything like that, like they're, criminal or might be committing a criminal act just because he's a white guy. So maybe that's white privilege again, you know. Hey, you know where we live at. The Bureau of Justice Statistics found that compared to blacks, whites were more likely to kill children, the elderly, family members, and their significant others. They commit more sex-related crimes, gang-related crimes, and are more likely to kill at their places of employment. Now, what's striking to me is the gang-related crimes. When do you hear about white gang-related crimes? And they say they commit more than the blacks. You know, that's very interesting. I thought that was interesting because I'm going to do some research on that, because white gang-related crimes, you know, what white gang-related crimes? Anyway, FBI stats say women committed 36% of the murders committed by white people against other white people. Gang-related killings were referred to on the news, they treat it as an almost exclusively black problem, which, man, I'm going to say, I have to say, they got, what white gang? You know, so I'm a little out of that loop. I don't see anything about white gangs. I don't even hear people talking about white gangs. I know there's some white guys in, where's Bill Clinton from? Kansas or somewhere? I know there was a white gang out there. I had it one time, it was covering the guys. They were part of the Crips or the Bloods or something like that. But you're right, the guy's right, I don't really hear too much about a white gang in terms of these guys committing more homicides than the black gangs, which is interesting, at least. So, the Bureau of Justice statistics for the period of 1980 to 2008 said the majority, 53.3% of gang homicides were committed by white offenders, and the majority of gang homicide victims, 56.5%, were white. So where is this gang war taking place at? Because that's almost like, I don't know if anybody's listening to it. Anybody familiar with white gang warfare being this prevalent in this country? Because I got to admit, I'm not, you know, I'm going to have to do some research on that. Because, you know, I'm just hearing this. I'm sure that, you know, they have white groups and stuff like that. But I didn't know that this was going on like this. Because that's very interesting. So, why the lack of coverage on white crime or homicide? Why project the image of blacks being the greatest threat to white people? I don't understand that, you know, because that's not helping white people survive. If you're telling them that somebody that's not the greatest threat is a threat to them, and the people who are a threat to them, they are amongst them, that's putting them at risk if you care about them, you know. It's something I'm throwing out there. You know, if you care about white people or your fellow Caucasians, it seems like you would tell them the truth so that they have a better chance at navigating through their communities and things like that and, you know, being on the lookout. So, and, you know, why isn't law enforcement gunning down more white offenders or suspects if they're so, you know, out of control, you know? I'm not saying they should do that. I'm not even suggesting they should, because you shouldn't be gunning down anybody. But, you know, they're shooting down a lot of black suspects and so-called offenders. And is it because of the black people are being demonized in the media? Therefore, when you approach them, you're already in fear of them. You already suspect certain type of behavior. You are already afraid. So, therefore, you already have in your mind, this dude make a move. And I'm not saying all police officers do that, because you can see some of those shootings. There might be one person that shoots the guy and other people don't even draw their guns. Thing that works on the psyche of a police officer in terms of a suspect is, does the portrayal, the demonization of the black suspect or black man or woman, or dehumanization of him in the media, make him more of a target and susceptible to violence by the police officers? I don't know. I wonder about that sometimes, because, you know, according to the census data, just to go back on some of that stuff, not to say that advocate anybody getting shot, or especially unarmed people being shot by police officers or anybody, that's unacceptable. People who are not a threat. So nearly 160 million more white people in America than there are black people. White people make up roughly 62% of the U.S. population, but only about 49% of those who are killed by police officers. African Americans, however, account for 24% of those fatally shot and killed by police, despite being just 13% of the population. So, but they don't commit more murders. So that's what I'm trying to, you know, that's what I'm getting to. And that means black Americans are 2.5 times as likely as white Americans to be shot and killed by police officers. So that anyone is murdered by law enforcement is unacceptable. Some have argued that blacks should be just as angry about black-on-black homicide rate, which is much higher than the police homicide rate for murdering blacks. Some say blacks are being stereotyped and demonized in the media. That is worth making some noise about. That being said, whites are also being murdered by police, and there appears to be an epidemic of white-on-white violence, crime, homicide in the white community. This phenomenon does not receive as much attention in the media as black-on-black homicide or crime or violence. PT will attempt to give this subject some attention. As you know, we're in an obscure radio show, but for those listening, and maybe for those who may come across this on the show on the internet, this may be enlightening. White on White Crime, The Hidden Truth by Diane Small Jordan, says it's, again, the majority of homicides occur are intra-racial, I mean between one group of people, black on black, because you live around black people, white on white, because most white people live around white people. So basically, you're going to run into the people you run into, that's the people you kill, the people you marry, the people you go out with, the people you hang out with, and stuff like that, right? For most people, for a lot of people, if you know, like that. So there are people who live in those environments who venture out and have different types of relationships. As you can see, white people kill black people, some black people kill white people. So it depends on who you come in contact with the most. Also, so black on black crime has saturated media coverage in recent years. But who's talking about the high rate of white on white crime? It says, no, this is the reporters not even covering it. And you know, they got this gang related thing, which I didn't know. And I mean, you know, how come we don't know about that? You know, what is the idea behind not rebuilding the abundance of the high rate of crime, the epidemic of crime, the high homicide rate amongst white in the white community? Because white lives matter. Not because people are marching around saying black lives matter, because we have a high rate, high homicide rate at epidemic proportions in the white community. And I think the white community should be concerned about that. Is it ignorance or denial? Said the lack of reporting, because the theories that some use to explain crimes between blacks, such as poverty, see, they don't report it because the theory is that poverty creates crime, therefore you have this violence and all this stuff in the poverty in the neighborhoods where there's you know, people just can't make it, failure to thrive, they can't earn enough money, they go to sell drugs, I guess they're angry, they use drugs, they're sad, they use drugs, they want to celebrate, they use drugs. But that's another story, because we live in a society that perpetuates the use of drugs and addiction. But that's another show. But poverty facilitates crime, but it doesn't mean it's the only thing that facilitates crime. So the white population is wealthier than the black population, according to a research done by the Pew Research people. White-on-white crime rate is extremely high. And they say that that kind of disputes the theory that poverty creates crime. Now, poverty, that I don't think it does that. It just says that there are other variables that contribute to criminal behavior. That's what I get from that. But these guys saying that they don't want to report, you know, it's underreported because of this theory, which is don't even sound right. That's kind of, it's kind of crazy. Just report what is and don't worry about people's theories, because if you're a reporter, you shouldn't be concerned about that. You should be, just be concerned about reporting what is. And I know that may sound naive to people, but just report what is, and then you don't have to worry about whose theory about anything you might be shooting down, because some of the theories might be incorrect or misinterpreted. Anyway, in 2011, the FBI Uniform Crime Report showed that 86% of white American victims were killed by other white people. Also revealed that a white person was 6 times more likely to be killed by another white person than a black person. So, for those who are in fear of black people in terms of their safety and things like that, sounds like you need to take a look at, you know, the person that looks like you, and of course, 6 times more likely to be killed by somebody who looks like you than somebody not. So, it says, Mr. Edward Williams of The Root says, when it comes to America's past and present, lies and snake oil are sold in many colors. So his statement highlights the fact that black-on-black crime has become accepted in the journalistic and political arenas. That is a problem right there, because how are journalists being so selective about crime? I don't understand that. Crime is crime. It has no color. Somebody's dead. There's no color to that. Somebody's robbed. There's no color to that. You know? So what is up with that? In fact, the media portrayal of black violence leads some white people to worry about getting killed by a black person when they're actually significantly more at risk from other white people. Does it work that way? I guess it would if that's all you see on the news. You know, you flashing up pictures of this urban or this black guy in the community, ethnic guy that did something. So, and really, a Caucasian man, it gets the impression that, hey, we're all right. You know, we're good. They're bad. You know. That's very interesting, though. If the media or what is the thinking behind that? I don't see the significance unless you're trying to demonize black people, incarcerate them, give a reason for someone to gun them down on the street or send them to jail for a long time or whatever. I don't know. What is it? I mean, I'm perplexed about that whole kind of thing, like why the journalists, the media, is not, you know, giving up the tapes on white folks committing crimes and being an epic portion. What is going on with that, you know? So it says in European countries, as far as the whole thing about poverty being a catalyst for crime and violence and stuff like that, they say European countries with a very high percentage of white people have a lower white-on-white crime rate than in America. And that poverty theory of creating criminal activity does not add up either. They said because the guys are poorer over there and they have a lower crime rate than the white people over here who are at epic numbers of murdering, you know, other white people. So they said America is much higher. The standard of living in America is much higher than France, and the white population is much richer on average. And yet the U.S. has more white murderers. How about maybe because poverty, as I said before, is not the only variable for homicide. For reasons for crime, and they can't really think that poverty is the sole reason for crime. It could be a reason, and it depends on how a community, an individual, deals with their condition and poverty and things like that, in terms of whether or not they resort to criminal activity or activity that resorts to them needing or having to use violence. So I think it's more variables, but I get what the people are trying to say here. But I think it's just not as simple as, oh, it's poverty and it causes crime. Poverty can facilitate crime, but but also, you know, there you have some people who live in poverty who never commit crimes. Everybody in an impoverished community are not criminals. To say, let's get that point out, because, you know, everybody that lives, you know, you have people who are rich who commit crimes. You can murder somebody. You can be a billionaire and kill somebody. Why not? You can get angry. You can be jealous. You could be a serial killer, you know, who knows who you are. You could just make a mistake, kill somebody, get a heat of passion, manslaughter, you know. So it doesn't, you know, have to be an impoverished situation. But to the, you know, to these guys' credit, they're saying that the there are poor Caucasians living in poor conditions that have a lower crime rate. Right on white on white crime than here, who as a whole, the white community is richer. So where is the media? Where is the media on this shit? So there is no outrage aired on the news at 5, as we just said. I've been repeating that from white communities, as we see in black groups. When they protest, demand change for their community, and attempt to fix the problem. You see, you got the Black Lives Matter. You got all these different groups out there marching. You know, sometimes you just have the community out there. It's not just black people. You have some other people out there marching with them. Also, some white people out there too. But you see a large contingency of black people out there outraged. So, where's the white folks marching for them? Maybe they do, but they don't cover it, because, as we just said, that apparently the media doesn't cover it. But where are the white people, you know? Where's the cover, you know, coverage of the white communities outraged about this here high homicide rate in their community? Where's that at? Where are these people that have just had enough of this? This is enough. Be tired of this white-on-white crime. Where's that at? Because they got sounds like they got as much as right to be out there as people with, out there marching against the black-on-black crime and the police brutality. Sounds like, you know, white folks should be out there, you know, cutting up the curb too, you know, or you don't care, or what's going on with that. They're not aware. What's happening with that? Because it's baffling to me, because I'm going to do some research on it, especially this gang thing, because I didn't even know we had a white gang problem. You constantly hear through the media about black and Latino gang-related killings, but the statistics show that the majority of offenders were white. Well, blow me down. I'm something else. There's still no public discussion about white gang problems, the white gang problem in America. Amen to that, because I'm going to be looking for that from now on, because I'm going to do some research on that white gang problem. I didn't even know we had a white gang problem. So it said in 2010, the FBI reports that white individuals were arrested more times for violent crimes than individuals of any race, and their victims are overwhelmingly other white folks. The Bureau of Justice statistics data on homicide trends show that white-on-white killings are 88%, of the percentage of black-on-black killing is 91%. Yet the perception is that the high level of homicides that occur is just in a black thing. Maybe because the black people are making the most noise, I don't know. Are white people out there and it's just not being covered, you know? Or maybe black folks are just hollering and making a lot of noise, I don't know. Maybe black people attract a lot of attention when they start moving and yelling and, you know, being angry. And I don't know, maybe, why the cover-up? I don't quite get that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody doesn't want to awaken the white community to see that there's something very, very wrong with this picture for them. That might be it. I don't know, because as long as they stay asleep, you don't have to worry about it. And they're killing each other. But as long as they don't try to figure out what's contributing to that, what's that saying about letting dogs lie? Something like that. So just let them be dormant. Maybe they stay dormant. They don't start to activate themselves politically for their own call, for their own survival, to just stay on a level where they're just following, you know, the leader. So aside from homicide trend, the Bureau of Justice Statistics arrest trends for 2010 show whites were arrested more than blacks for violent crimes, property damage, drug possession, use, abuse, manufacturing, than blacks. Now, I will say this about the media. This is Hollywood mainly. Whenever they have a show on, the big bad guy is usually a white guy. The man, the guy, you know, there's always some white dude at the top. So, you know, that's Hollywood, you know. Maybe they're trying to, maybe somebody in Hollywood is trying to say something. I don't know. According to Edward Williams of The Root, there is no outrage or debate on the white-on-white violence, but the myth and associated fear of blacks on black crime is sold as legitimate, mainstream, descriptive, and becomes America's status quo. So, brothers, you guys out there accepting it, if you are accepting the role as the boogeyman, which you don't want to be, you know, let's try to tone it down. You're doing too much. You white guys out there killing up other white folks. And I'm not suggesting that you kill anybody. You guys need to pump your brakes. Tone it down, because you have all these homicides occurring. You need to stop and think about what's happening, because violence begets more violence. You know how it goes. You kill somebody, one of them is going to kill you. Then it gets worse. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Because you go from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, anything you need, you know. So it's harder the more you do it. The more people you kill, the harder it is to come to a conclusion that you shouldn't do it because of your anger and your pain. So, but you got to find another way. And you got to take a look at politically where you really stand at, who you really are. If you out here submitting and being subjected to that type of environment, like, man, I thought, you know, I remember I had to wait till people stopped shooting to leave my mom's house. Well, they shooting out there, gotta wait. Then we go out, you know, like cars driving by, stuff like that, you know. So, when you know, but I'm from what I'm getting, hey, you guys got the same kind of problem. So anyway. He also noted that whites are the largest racial group in America and commit the majority of crimes, leading aggravated assault 2-1 when compared to blacks and other racial groups. So this is somebody else. These are all different people, authors, you know, that have done some research, and they're finding out that whites are, you know, committing crimes and killing each other at an alarming rate, which should be an alarming rate. Apparently, at least the media is not alarmed. They're only ringing the alarm for, you know, black crime and, you know, statistics, but not for white guys. So I wouldn't consider that a white privilege if I was a white guy, you know, a privilege of not being told the truth. I wouldn't consider it a privilege. You know, the FBI and the DOJ, Department of Justice, and census data support what this guy is saying. Again, we've been going through that, you know, since I've been talking. The belief that blacks are somehow more prone to violence, unfortunately, the fallacy has been so promoted that all of society, all ethnicities, have come to believe it as true. That black folks is prone to violence. Ain't that something? So, to the callers, don't forget to press number one if you want to speak, because I'm very surprised. I didn't, you know, this white gang problem. Man, that's a show right there. Like, I didn't even know we had a white gang problem. So, they said there's no single factor, no single race. Apparently, the data is showing that. You know, to commit crimes against the people that they come in contact with. So that means you live in a black community, going to be a lot of crime against black people. So aggravated assaults, robberies, and things like that. Of course, some people go out in the burbs and commit crimes because they see more money out there in the burbs. But not everybody's going out in the suburbs. See the line and all that stuff. They don't want to get caught. So you get spotted as soon as you show up out there. So non-facts that show white-on-white crime far exceeds black-on-black crime and how the media outlets conceal it. Again, it's not me saying this. It's these guys. So this is Curtis Bunn again. So we're not going to go through what he said again, but, you know, question is, you know, why? He says, you know, they talk about this argument with the poverty argument. I don't understand that because what criminologists did they speak to that just was stuck on poverty being a cause for crime? Anybody knows a greedy man will commit a crime. You know what I'm saying? Sure, a needy man, yeah, he might. But a greedy one will commit a crime, whether he's poor and greedy, whether he's rich and greedy, or whatever, middle class and greedy. If he's greedy and he's ready to steal something or whatever, you know, crime has no color and no class. I don't even get that. You know, why people have been looking at just that one variable. So the white population in America is considerably richer than the national average, and yet there are more white murders because poverty is not the only variable. And I don't want anybody to get the idea that I'm saying that poverty is the main variable for crime. I think it is a variable. It's something that facilitates crime because people who need and cannot get, there's a saying, what I can't work and make, I'll steal and take. That was just the same when I was coming up. So, you know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that when people are deprived, right, they can't do what they feel they need to do for their families, they find other ways to do it. So I can run numbers. I can sell dope. I can steal bikes. I can steal cars. I can, you know, I can fix cars. You know what I'm saying? I can fix bikes, right? I can fix a house up. I can break in a house. You know, so it depends on the individual, what his skill level is, what his urgency is, his education level, what are his options, or what he believes to be his options, what are his actual options, and is he able to, you know, move toward, you know, making his life better and the life of his family, children, and things like that. So a lot of things come into play. When it comes to crime, you know, and while you committing a crime, you might end up in a situation where someone is murdered. You know, while you robbing somebody, you never know. While you're breaking into somebody's house, you never know. You could be the next dead person, or you end up murdering that person for fear of being harmed by a person whose home you broke into. So it happens, and all of that is ill-fated for both people. Both people come from other people, I'm sure, who care about them. And it's a sad day that we have this epidemic, because apparently in America, what I'm getting here is that we have a homicide epidemic here, period. It's not just black on black. It's at least black on black. It's black and white. But as I said, white people killing a lot of white people, black people killing a lot of black people. And I doubt very seriously if we've reached a level where blacks can help resolve that issue in the white community, because we still have certain issues going on. You know, I know we have don't let the black president and the interracial relationships fool you. We haven't come that far yet. But deal with the issue in your house and you know, was next to you, did what was close to you, and if you could help somebody else out, that's your business. You know, that's good. But I wouldn't go journeying, venturing into other people's community that might not want you there, because, you know, black folks tend to allow people to come in their community. But some white communities, you have to be careful. We I'm just going to leave that alone right there. But, you know, it's not always safe for black people to go into white communities. So the blog, 2015, by Carrie Cadet, she says that from the Department of Justice, again, this is different people saying the same thing. 84% of white people killed every year are killed by whites. In 2011, there were more cases of whites killing whites than there were blacks killing blacks. She got from 1980 to 2008, the majority, again, 53.3% of gang-related murders were committed by white people. In America, whites commit the majority of crimes. Again, this is another author doing the research. They're all coming up with the same research, so they have the same kind of same sources. In 2013, whites led all other groups in aggravated assault, larceny, theft, arson, weapons, carrying, and vandalism. When it comes to sexual assault, whites take the forcible rape. They're saying that they lead the pack. But, you know, so they're also more likely to kill children, the elderly, you know, so forth. I just said that. And this is somebody else. This is all these are different people who did research. This is from the blog in 2015, Carrie Cadet. They all had the same type of information. See, ask again, so why is white crime so prevalent? One may ask, is it the music they listen to? Is it the white divorce rate resulting in more white children coming from broken homes? Perhaps it's the TV shows they watch or the violent sports they play. More than likely, it is a combination of all those things, with the exact root cause unclear. What is clear, though, is that not enough people are talking about the crime plaguing the white community. And I'm going to have to agree with them, because, man, I didn't know. You know, I know that they kill, white people kill white people more than anybody, but I didn't know they had almost a minus the police killing white people, the almost identical kind of worse than us in terms of homicides and things like that. Hey, I thought they, I don't know, I wasn't under the impression that they, you know, I thought we just had it bad, you know, but they had it, but not as bad as us in terms of black on black and white on white. White on white is an epidemic, just as black on black is an epidemic. So wake up, white people, Caucasian brothers out there. Y'all need to do something with y'all community. Talk to your people, politicians. Take a look at how life is impacting on you in this country. Because as a, in terms of poverty, you're not the most impoverished group of Caucasians, as it, you know, previously spoken about. You know, you have people who live with less and have a lower rate of crime, period. So what's going on? What is happening over here in the America, North America, United States, that we have so much crime? Is it something that's going on in the United States that's particular to the United States? How about that? Maybe we need to look at that, you know, the culture of America. So maybe white-on-white violence is America, in America, can be traced historically to the feudal lord system, colonization of Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, North and South America. Maybe historically and culturally, violence has violence was commonly used as a method of maintaining power and control. Because if you use violence as a method of method of power and control, that's going to create a lot of violence in your community, because I want you to do something, you don't want to do what I tell you to do, what I ask you to do, but I'm really telling you, then I pound you. then you can always decide, well, you pound me, I'm going to pound you back. You hit me, I'm going to hit you. Right? So now you got this thing going on. Well, you use that same concept in your family. I'm doing what I tell you to do. I'm going to pound you. To your wife. It should be done to your husband. You know? Who knows? So, if you use it to maintain power and control, well, you know, violence is going to be used. You know what that's going to do. That's going to create resistance eventually. Or you can use it for defense, punishing, as I said, deterring, terrorizing, oppressing, eliminating opposition, wars, massacres, mass hangings, burnings, whippings, tortures, and assaults. Maybe it was subliminally and reinforced by violent games, movies, sports. Maybe fear, hatred, greed, and self-righteousness is the motivation. Who knows? But we need to get to the bottom of it. That's another issue that needs to be resolved in this country. Violence, homicide, things like that. We're not at war. Why are so many people being murdered? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on that people are killing so many people? And in terms of white-on-white crime, what's the big cover-up? What's the big deal about not making a big deal out of that? Through the media. I don't get that. Is it simply the violence begots more violence scenario? Come on, if you know, more attention needs to be paid to the white community, the Caucasian community in this country, because, hey, everybody deserves to live. You know, and that'll stop somebody from going to jail also. So, for life, 20 years or something, whatever. So where's a group of Caucasians leading the march in the street to protest the white-on-white violence in the white community? Where are the Caucasian politicians demanding an end to the slaughter of white people by other white people? Now, if that does exist, which I'm going to have to do some research just to see if I can find anything on that. And if it does exist, why isn't the media covering it? I mean, what's the big deal here? The damage is done. You have a dead, what was it, 3,000, more than 3,000 people murdered in 1 year. Damage is done. So you got to try to turn that thing around. Do white lives matter to the media? Why the silence? I can't answer those questions. The only thing I can think of is they trying to repress anything about white people that they say that they try to project that black people are, you know, saying that they projecting that black people are criminals and murderers and things like that. They don't want the information about the white community to come out like that. But that's bizarre. You know, even the black people, you know, protesting out there, posting. They're not worried about the image. They're worried about bringing an end to the epidemic. The image is not everything. The problem and solving the problem, that's everything. So is the white community so proud that they don't want to, they'd rather view black people as the main threat to their lives than to realize that they're the greatest threat to their lives and their community? You know, you can't be that proud. You know, can't have your head in the ground, you know, that much that you're just going to ignore your own community and the crime that's perpetrated by other whites on whites. Murder rate, come on, that's got to hurt. So bring some media attention to that. And maybe you might get more help than the black community. You never know. I'm just putting that out there. It says white privilege. If it's a such thing as white privilege, put that thing out there in the media. See what kind of help you can get. I don't know. Might not be as privileged as you think you are, but you know nothing beats a failure but a try. So if you don't try, you never know if you get any help. So from Vox, to White on White Murder in America is Out of Control by Matthew Iglesias in 2015. He said blacks represent 13% of the population, but commit 50% of the murders. 90% of black victims are murdered by other blacks, writes Tim Joe's, writes Times, Joe Klein. I mentioned him before, but something he wrote, I didn't say his name. Calling for provocative thinking on race in America. The facts suggest that history is not enough to explain this social disaster. So this reporter is trying to say that blacks are the problem. They're the homicidal maniacs. But again, like, I don't know why he said that. Because, why is he just ignoring the white murder rate anyway? FBI's most recent homicide statistics, again, it says the epidemic of white-on-white crime. Dang, same statistic, 83% murder victims killed by fellow Caucasians. So, why are reporters projecting this whole thing about being murderers on blacks? What's that all about? White on white crime is homicide exists at an epidemic proportion in the United States. Yet they want the blacks to be the boogeyman in terms of homicide. Somebody help me out with that, because I want to know. You know, what's next? Concentration camps for black folks going on here? Is all right for white people to kill each other at epidemic proportions? Is that okay? Are we trying to move toward getting people to be afraid of black people and increase the incarceration rate, demonizing them, increasing the length of prison stay, or maybe even execution? I don't know. What's going on here? You need more blacks in jail? What's happening, you know? More corporations investing in the prison system, that you need more black people in jail. What's happening with that? I don't know. Why are blacks being projected as the boogeyman, even for in terms of white homicide, whites being murdered? What's going on with that? You know, as Marvin Gaye says, what's going on? So what's happening? I said Norway, Iceland, France, Denmark, New England, and United Kingdom, where white people murder each other at a much lower rate than you see here in the United States. People often see criminal behavior as a symptom of poverty again. They run in with this theory of poverty as an absolute isolated variable for crime. You know, even in poverty, there are other variables that goes on that influence crime in poverty, with people who live in poverty. So the quantity of murder committed by white people, specifically in the United States, casts some doubt on this theory, the poverty theory again. So I don't know what sociologists you guys are talking to, but you don't have to be a sociologist or a college grad to know that poverty is just one variable, again, that influences people's behavior and their decision making. It's just one variable. So anybody who's poor do not commit crimes. So you understand. So there are many reasons why people murder and commit crimes. So the white population in America is considerably richer than the national average, and yet more white murderers. So, as I said, I said that before, you know, so that's saying, not, that's really not saying too much, really, because you only have one variable, poverty. And how do you get one, why do you only have one variable for a crime? That doesn't make sense to me. That seems like that these guys just trying to steer this thing in a certain direction. So, anyway, the percent of those killed by whites are, they said that 36% again of those killed by whites were women. So that's a lot. It's far higher than you see in black murderers. They didn't give a number for that, though. They said nobody talked about it. None of the 43 predecessors before Obama, who's in there, Trump. Nobody's talking about this white-on-white murder rate or anything like that, or anything like that. So, what is the, you know, because I'm a little perplexed myself as to, you know, why it's not being brought up. And said Trump even said something. They said Trump's pants on fire. John Greenberg, pants on fire tweet that blacks kill 81% of white homicide victims. Now, I just read that to you. And I think it was 83% killed by whites. So Trump said something like that, then you know you can't trust him. So why is he demonizing black folks and trying to put crimes on them that they are not committing? Trump, he cast the blacks as primary killers of whites. That's your president, y'all. Said he, but I think this guy is notorious for not doing his homework and saying things that aren't true. So I guess I shouldn't even mention him in today's show. Matter of fact, we're just going to skip him because we can't really trust much that he says. So, question is, anybody had any questions? Because I'm trying to, if this thing is unheard of to you or not, because it's unheard of to me, this epidemic of white homicide. I know what most white people kill white people, but I didn't look at it like they come at an epidemic proportion. You know, I didn't look at it like that, and I guess that's naive of me even not to even take a closer look at that. But gonna have to venture into that again and just to see what that's all about, because I gotta say I'm surprised. It's not that I don't think that white people commit crimes or anything like that, but I didn't know that it was off the chain like that. So I want to thank Retalk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I want to thank everybody that called in, any listeners, anybody listening on the radio. I want to thank Mr. Jones, Kenneth Jones. You know, for allowing me to, you know, host this show also. And I want to say stay tuned next week at Provocative Thought, everybody. Peace, y'all. Stop the violence.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There won't be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.